It's not a bad thing that you've been broken in the past. You can create the life that you want. And sometimes all you have to do is take a step back, open your eyes, and realize that you already have. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I had a glow stick that I got from some party of some sort. And it was like the long and skinny ones, but just a little thicker. So it was a big boy. But anyway, I had this glow stick and I hadn't cracked it yet. I was in my room, it was late at night, and I was trying to sleep and I was bored. During this time of my life, I really struggled with going to sleep because my mind would just run on all cylinders nonstop until I was just literally so exhausted that I passed out. I've trained myself out of it since then, but I was really struggling with sleep. So I had this glow stick and I had actually forgotten that I hadn't broken it or used it yet. So I shuffled around my dresser and I found it and I laid back down and I started breaking the glow stick. I started snapping it in different parts and I did the whole like bendy wiggly thing that you do to kind of like really work out all the kinks. And I was shaking it and sure enough, it was starting to glow. Well, there's always those little bits at the end, like at the very tip of the glow stick that don't glow. And that was really bothering me because it was glowing everywhere else, but not the ends of it. And so I very carefully put it in between my molars, put the tip of it in between my molars, and I started just lightly like crunching down. And I could hear the glass inside breaking or whatever else is in there. And so I would crunch, slight turn, crunch, slight turn, crunch, slight turn. And it was working. And I looked at that end and it was glowing. And that was really satisfying. but I had to do the other end. So I started doing the same thing. Do a little crunch and then a twist, crunch and a twist, crunch. And boom, my mouth is flooded with this disgusting gritty liquid. And it tasted so bad. It was so surprising. I was not expecting to actually bite through the glow stick. And so I spit it out. I was like trying to get it out of my mouth. And I was a little freaked out. But I, of course, was doing this quietly because it was really late and I didn't want to get in trouble for being up. So I looked around. I'm still trying to get this out of my mouth, but I got most of it out and I'm looking around and in my panic, I had flung the glow stick around too. And there was glowing liquid just sprayed everywhere underneath. So I was on the bottom bunk. My brother would sleep on the top bunk and I was on the bottom. So on the underneath side of his bunk above my head, there was like glow liquid everywhere. It was on the walls. It was on the floor. It was on my sheets. And it was actually really cool. Still couldn't get the taste out of my mouth. So that was horrible. But it was really cool. And so I actually just did it on purpose at that point. There was half of the glow stick left and I started flinging it around everywhere. And yeah, the cool thing about it is that typically a glow stick like that will stop glowing after like a day. But for some reason, this glow, the liquid inside of it that had been now dispersed all over the place, it actually glowed for like 3 days. And excuse me, I have no idea why. A few months ago, I was talking to my wife and we were both just talking about how we feel like we have a hard time relating to other people our age. I know that a lot of people in our generation have been victims of abuse, whether it's religious or just parental or otherwise. But that's about as far as it goes. You know, there's a lot of people that we meet where we can just tell that they don't really like carry too much baggage, which is a great thing. I'm happy for them. And we do our best to manage it in a healthy way. But I think in between certain family struggles and being raised in a cult and then leaving that behind and having everything that you knew basically be gone and have to start over, and then getting married so young, and also, at least for me personally, just growing up in a very financially disadvantaged household, there's a lot of things that I just don't really relate to with people. And my wife was feeling the same way. That, and we're both pretty ambitious with our careers. We don't spend every weekend going out and drinking like everyone else does. At least there's that one crowd, and then there's the other crowd that is at church every Sunday, and we don't do that either. So with us being a younger couple, you know, we're 25 and 23, and we've been married 4.5 years. So do the math. All of these elements combine to just make us feel kind of alienated. And I don't know if it's anyone's intention, but that's how we feel. She was saying that she had went to brunch with a girl that she thought was really cool, and they got along well, but she could tell that they just didn't get each other. Like, this girl just, she was talking about her family and talking about like her childhood and stuff. And everyone's been hurt. Everyone's gone through really dark things. But this girl was talking about how she has an amazing relationship with her parents. And like, she goes to her parents' beach house in Florida all the time. And it was just, my wife was telling me that she just felt broken compared to her, which is really sad. I relate to, and maybe if you're listening to this, maybe you relate to this too in a way. And I was thinking about it, and of course, you know me, I always have to think of a solution. I did empathize at first, but then I was thinking, like, what's a way that we can perceive this that will make us feel better, you know? Like, sometimes it's good to hear things that you don't want to hear. And, you know, it's not to make you feel better, but it is to help you get to a better place. But sometimes it can be both. Sometimes you can hear something that does make you feel better and it actually helps. And so I was thinking, and I realized that there's one thing that I could think of off the top of my head that is actually better when it's been broken. And that's a glow stick. It's not a bad thing that you've been broken in the past. It's not even necessarily a bad thing that you feel broken now, because if you are a glow stick and you haven't been broken before, you're going to hang around other glow sticks that haven't been broken before. If you have been broken, then you're going to hang around other glow sticks that have been broken. And when I say broken, I don't just mean like, oh, you've been through some heartbreak or you had someone bully you. Like, we've all had those things happen. But when you feel like you've been through some things that most people will never go through. And again, everyone has this thing. So this is all subjective. Like, some people are born with a serious physical disability. Some people are like deal with getting cancer. Like there's a lot of different things that someone could go through. Someone could grow up in a third world country with like hardly any food and having to walk a while to get water. So we all have our struggles, but not everyone experiences the same extreme struggles. And so this is all just perspective, but when you feel like you've really just experienced something that is rare, a rare combination of experiences, then it's easy to feel different than other people around you, and it's easy to feel broken. But when I thought of this idea that we're all glow sticks and we all have different colors, shapes, sizes, and we're all broken in different ways at different times, we just need to realize that it's all to help us shine. Now, I will take a nuanced approach to this because, you know, if we're going to think of the religious arguments that are made when horrible things happen to people, and there's this argument on the non-religious side or even atheist side where it's like, what kind of God would let a horrible thing like that happen, right? Let's say like child trafficking, which is one of the worst things that exists, in my opinion. I think sometimes like, okay, I acknowledge that things happen that are out of my control and I just need to do my best with them and trust that it's for my benefit in some way and for the benefit of humanity in some way. And that does help me approach things with a more positive mindset, and it helps me have a growth mindset. But come on, like what benefit could there possibly be to a child being plucked off the street and sold into sex trafficking for the rest of their life until they're of no use anymore? And then they are probably brutally murdered and disposed of. It's horrible, horrible. And I can't think of any possible reason as to how that could be a trial that will help you come closer to God, especially when you don't even make it out of it. I do acknowledge that this life is temporary, and I do believe in the infinite experience beyond this life, but I can't prove that. And so forming a strict belief around that hope, when it could cause me to not take action to prevent some of these things, that's not good. So I bring that up to say that you really just, the last episode was about intuitive spirituality, and I think that applies here. There are some things that should absolutely not be tolerated. Some things that are just not okay, like abuse. I believe that I was abused by the church that I grew up in. And I don't ever really mention the name of this church that much, but I did grow up Mormon. It's the LDS church. I say Mormon because that's what everyone else knows it by, and I don't really care to respect that church by calling it by the name that they want me to. So there's that. I grew up Mormon, and this church is very, very psychologically abusive. And especially when you grow up in it, it runs so deep for so long that if you draw a boundary to actually be treated properly and to not be treated like cattle, you're going to lose everything. And that experience is extremely isolating, especially when the people that are supposed to love and support you and understand you refuse to do that. And now I'm speaking generally because there's hundreds of thousands of other people, especially in my generation, that have and are leaving the church. So I bring that up to say that it is a relatively rare experience to be raised in a cult, especially one that passes, at least externally, it doesn't necessarily look much like a cult. You're not kept on a compound. Again, it's all psychological. They don't have to keep you on a compound for you to follow their rules because of how well they've constructed this narrative and just the shame tactics that they use. But that is a huge bag of cats that I'll get into someday. I've been wanting to talk about my experience with it in more detail and really talk about why I've left. But my wife also grew up Mormon, so everything that I just said applies to her. Same with my best friend. So I was just thinking about this idea, and it makes sense. Everything that I've been through in my life has led me to this moment, and that's obvious. It's like, well, duh, if I was in a different place, then everything in my life would have led me to that place. But I'm saying that because it just helps you realize that if you take a look at your life now and there are things that you actually are really proud of and things that you are really fulfilled in that are present in your life, then you could attribute it to the things that broke you in the past. The things that shook you up and rolled you around and chewed you up and spit you out. And eventually you realize that you're glowing. And you realize that you're reaching closer to your potential. So I think about all the stuff that I've been through, and I have this somber gratitude for it. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. In fact, I hardly have anyone I could wish it on, because most of the people that I know in my life are also still in this cult. It's a nightmare. And you don't even realize it's a nightmare until you wake up. You have no point of reference. But now I see that I needed to go through that to evolve into the person that I am today. To evolve with the perspectives that I have, the drive that I have, the vision that I have for the future, for myself, for my family, for the world. And the cool thing is, if you just open your eyes, you'll be able to see other glow sticks. You'll be able to pick out other people that have been through similar things and who understand you and who want similar things. And that's really what life is about. It is about other people, but it's about your ability to choose the right people for you. It's a hard thing to do when you feel isolated. There's this concept of liminal spaces, which is attached to the greater concept of growth and transformation. And so you typically have a separation phase, and then you have a liminal phase, and then you have a reintegration phase. And this is, we go through these different cycles in our life. And the funny thing is, in the liminal phase, this is when the change and growth really happens, but you don't see it until the reintegration phase. So the separation phase, all of the old patterns fall away, and you basically just leave behind everything that you know. And then in the liminal phase, you are really tested and you typically feel isolated. You feel like you're alone. But because of the things that you go through in that liminal phase, in that testing phase, in that temporary hell that you're not stuck in forever, but that you have to travel through, to quote Carl Jung, not directly, but that was his concept, that hell isn't a place that we go when we die permanently. It's just a place that we travel through periodically in our life. And this is where change happens. This is where you slay your demons. This is where you play the floor as lava and actually make it out. Then the reintegration phase, you start opening your eyes. You start realizing that you've created a new life for yourself, that you're a new person. And you realize that all of the cracks and breaks that you experienced in the liminal phase led to you now glowing brighter than you ever thought you could. And so I would just like to encourage you to look at your life now. Things may be crazy. Things may be hectic. Things may be painful or confusing. But take a step back. Think about when you were a kid. Think about what you wanted for your life. And look at it now. If it looks absolutely nothing like how you wanted it, maybe you're still in that liminal phase. And I say that as in one of the many phases that you'll go through. But if it does, if you look at the components of your life and you realize that there's a lot of it there that aligns with what you wanted for yourself, chances are it's time you also realize that you're a glow stick and that you've been broken so that you can shine, and that you have been for a while, but you're just now opening your eyes and realizing that your life is not so bad. I had this experience recently. I was pushing so hard for so long for financial freedom. And although I don't have a fully sufficient, self-sufficient business yet, I know that I will. I'm not in a rush. I've been working hard for a long time. And I've been in this extremely stupid, long liminal phase where I left behind everything I knew. And it's been years now of just trial and error and blindly roaming around trying to figure things out. And I could have given up. But then I woke up the other day, as in like a few weeks ago, and I realized, wait a second. Like, my life is awesome. I have almost everything I've ever wanted. And really the things that matter most. I have an amazing marriage. I have a few good, close friends, including my brothers. I live in a house that is perfectly sufficient for my needs as a creative. I have a car that works wonderfully, that is also perfect for my job. And speaking of my job, I'm in complete control of my schedule. I still have to work to pay the bills, but I'm in complete control of it. I go on little weekend trips to waterfalls and rivers and little hikes, and we go on longer trips every once in a while to places that we've never been before. And I have a dog that is absolutely way too perfect, who is so quiet, which is great for my wife and I because of music and podcasting and stuff. She's quiet. She's sweet. She's protective. She's goofy. Like, and I live in a city that is honestly amazing. It's got its quirks. It's got its flaws, but so do we. There's only a few things that aren't present that I've always wanted, but I'm in the process of doing those on a smaller scale. And I realized all of this and I was like, whoa, why am I so dissatisfied? It's because I was so focused on the ways that I had been broken and how frustrating it all was that I didn't realize what it all led to, which is this. I'm very fortunate, very blessed, privileged in some ways, but I was also, I was raised underprivileged in a lot of ways, and I've worked my ass off to build the life that I've built. And we can all do the same. You can create the life that you want. And sometimes all you have to do is take a step back, open your eyes, and realize that you already have. So, shine like a glow stick today, my friend. And don't let anyone bite down too hard or else you'll explode. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you next time.